start again. This is Friday, June 24th. You're listening to Lady Radio at CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting from traditional, ancestral, unceded territory of the Musqueam people. It's Issa here and Rach.
What's up?
Yeah, so this Friday, doing a show particularly dear to my heart. I think that it's important. It's an important discussion to talk about. Particularly, it's allied to feminism and particularly allyship to all causes. But we're going to focus on feminism today. In me, as a straight male, I think that it's good to have perspective. So in the studio, we have Rach and waiting for my friend Chloe. She'll be here in a few minutes. We're just going to discuss maybe some current events, reasons why I wanted to do the show. You know, and then discuss about what exactly is an ally, reasons why it's important, and then some recent stories. And then we're going to finish off with, you know, what exactly you can do and how you can participate and, you know, think about the type of behaviors that you engage in. If you want to call in, it's 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. So I think that we're going to just jump right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so reason why I feel like the show is important and why I wanted to do the show, I think that it comes with a little bit of background. I'm from Washington, D.C., and so this is my first time on Lady Radio.
And welcome.
Thank you. And so it's I brought up this topic a month ago?
Yeah, I think so. Issa brought it up at one of our collective meetings. And, yeah, we're all really excited to talk about this today.
Yeah, so there's a particular reason why groups need allies. And it's mostly because they're often misrepresented or pretty much openly discriminated against. I mean, we see that all the time through legislation or through social norms and people.
Yeah, I think another thing that's really important to recognize is that oftentimes I hear people talking about politics in that sense of like, okay, if you need to do something, you need to go to, you need to like get involved with politics. You need to, you know, write letters to your MPs and stuff. But I think people often forget that it's actually the day-to-day interactions that really shape the way we think about certain things. And it's just as important as the big stuff, so to speak, like protesting and like rallying, lobbying.
Yeah, no. I definitely agree. I think that along with the legislation and the change that you want to bring, you know, you just have to have a basic understanding of your daily behaviors. You have to understand that your own perspectives about where you sit at in the, just where you sit at in general and how your daily decisions and how your actions can be affecting groups that might include you or, you know, groups that might be invisible to you. So, you know, it's important, you know, particularly to think about how you can put in a little bit of work every day to make the world better for other people. And so understanding what an ally is and, you know, understanding how you can be one or understanding that maybe you do things every day that you didn't actually notice was putting other people in, you know, not a particularly favorable spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think particularly as men and as a man, you know, I have a key role in normalizing behavior, especially within my peer group, you know, amongst my friends. When you think about when you think about feminism from a particularly from a third party or an outside perspective, you know, a lot of people have very, very different, distinct and very different feelings about what it is. So, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I was going to jump on that idea of, like, different perspectives and the way people see feminism. I don't know if you've heard of this phrase before, but people talk about feminism like the F word.
Oh,
like, people call
I've heard other words, other feminist words, not the F word. But
yeah, like, that was sort of, like, this term, the F word, sort of captures the stigma and I guess the misunderstanding around the feminist movement. I think there's still this sort of feeling towards feminism as like a bad word. Like I've interacted with women who clearly have you know, feminist ideologies, and they believe in ending sexism and they believe in ending the patriarchy, but they would always start off, you know, hey, I believe that men and women should be equal, but I'm not a feminist. And yeah. It's always really interesting to me how people feel like they need to follow up with that, like they don't want to claim that word. And I think, you know, this comes a lot from the second wave of feminism. Like, so that was between like the 60s and the 90s-ish, where, you know, during the Vietnam War and civil rights. And I think there were a couple of, you know, there was this really small group of radical feminists who essentially were known to be misandrists, and misandry means like man-hating. And even though that was such a small part of the feminist movement, I think that was what was brought to light, and that was what was broadcasted and used to embody the feminist movement. And so there's been this attachment of man-hating with feminism, and I think often people try to stray away from claiming this label of feminist because there's that association with misandry and like man-hating.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I also think that that's pretty much a tactic by the dominant group to label feminism and label you know, other activists as like maybe, you know, extremists, and as almost as if they're the oppressed party. And so I think that that's something that we have to be aware of. So when thinking about feminism particularly, you know, I would say, you know, I like to think of myself as a feminist, but when I also think of myself as a normal human being who feel like I need to treat everyone with respect, and that just includes women and, you know, all people of different groups who are, you know, that I don't belong. So when I think of the word feminism, so I guess to your point, so saying I'm a feminist does, you know, it, I don't want to say it makes me a little uncomfortable, but I just like to think of myself as somebody who strives to do the right thing, you know, all the times. And that also includes like checking my own behavior, because, you know, I wasn't always had this, you know, type of mindset. This is something that I learned from, you know, over time, and just listening and talking to, you know, people in my group, and understanding and being checked on, you know, some of my behaviors. So I think as a man and as a person in a particular set that, you know, I can do the same thing and check my friends, or, you know, be in the locker room and when people are talking about, you know, issues that I, you know, in a non-favorable way. You know, these are the type of things that I can help change.
I just wanted to ask, you know, those are all really good points about what it means to be an ally, and our guest is here, which is very exciting. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, so Chloe just got here into the studio. Say hi, Chloe.
Say hi.
Hi. I'm late. Apologies.
So what were you saying, Rach?
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to ask you, like, you know, talking about all these things and sort of this idea of checking your position and checking your privilege in certain situations and settings, especially it sounds like in a really male-dominated setting, because you mentioned locker room, so I'm thinking like it's all dudes, where, you know, your input and your checking of your position and correcting those behaviors might be even more important without a woman present in that environment. And I'm just wondering, in maybe like a more general sense, what does it mean to be an ally, and like what would you define as allyship?
Yes. So what I think to be an ally, I thought that Madeline, she posted a pretty good tweet on her Facebook that I saw, and it says ally and spelled it out A-L-L-Y, just in case anybody listening doesn't know how to spell it. So it was like always center the impacted, listen and learn from those who live in the oppression, leverage your privilege and yield the floor. So those are pretty much exactly what I think. And it's just about, you know, being a resource and putting yourself in a position for mutual benefit for all of the, you know, for the oppressed group and for yourself. And so, like, it's when you think about it as not from, you know, I don't do, it's not ally, not as a, we make the world better when we bring everybody up to an equal playing field. And so it doesn't, I think when we're talking about feminism from the 50s to the 90s, you know, a lot of it's focused on, you know, from the 1920s to current day, it's focused on the right to vote, then equal pay, and, you know, then equal protection under laws. And we're not even at the mountaintop yet. So, you know, we're still working towards those type of things. So it's when, you know, they pass legislation or they pass some type of laws, you know, controlling female bodies or talking about exact, you know, just speaking about things that affect only women. And you see it suddenly in a room full of men. And you're like, there's no way that you can know exactly what's going on or how the feelings are, you know, in this particular group. And so I think that being a man, when I'm in those type of conversations, you know, I can have the understanding. I can step back and I can, you know, like yield the floor to someone who has a better understanding of what's going on. So
I think that's a really powerful stance to take, because as a woman who is a young professional, I'm constantly in situations where I'm trying to communicate ideas or perspectives or just, you know, walk into a room and be respected, where most of the people in the room are men. And they may be older, they may have different privileges than I do, and I feel that I'm still treated as kind of, you know, the girl in the room that, like, is looked at, not listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and oh, sorry, and yeah. So Chloe, yeah, I totally. I mean, like I say, I understand, but, like, you know, just listening to you and other women who I know, and just the type of things that they talk about on the daily basis. So, you know, me, when I'm in the workplace, I try to do my best to make sure that, you know, I am listening and I'm, you know, and I'm giving the same respect that I expect, you know, as also a minority in the workforce. And, you know, I worked in banking, which is particularly male, white male dominated space. And so to understand, you know, how I feel and not pile on and add that to someone else's oppression. I also think that, you know, sometimes you just have to understand that you don't understand everything, and you have to give space to people who do have a better understanding. It's, I think that in our society we don't do that enough. We don't give enough. We don't give people enough space to actually speak about themselves.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add the point of this idea where, I really like that, understand that you don't understand. And I think there's often a trend of, you know, I know online activists use this a lot, like mansplaining and whitesplaining certain issues. And I think that's something really important to point out about allyship, is often there's this sort of over enthusiasm about being an ally. And, you know, I get it. It's like, you're excited. You recognize that there are oppressive systems, and you know that, like, some friends around you are experiencing more oppression than you are. And it's like, A+, you get it now. That's great. But I think, you know, with that enthusiasm, I think there's often sort of overstepping your lane where people get too excited and they want to express, you know, this new knowledge that they have and this the fact that they care, you know, but often that's at the cost of stepping on other people's voices who have direct experiences. And I think it's really important as an ally to remember to yield the floor, right, and to understand that, yes, you get it to a certain extent, and thank you for, you know, showing that you understand. But at the same time, it's like, you need to let the people who live this day to day talk about it, because those who experience it are the experts.
It's so funny that you say that, because it all boils down to, and I think especially it's relevant in Vancouver, just like common courtesy, right? Like the way that we are meant to listen to others, like listening. No one does that. And that, like, kind of takes me back to some of my personal experiences. I'm part First Nations, and my mom worked in First Nations Affairs for the government. So we attended a few events and things and powwows. And there's this tradition of, like, the talking stick. Basically, if you have the stick, you're the talker. Everyone listens. And it gets passed around. Like, we all have a story. We all have something to say. But, like, what does it matter if no one's listening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, going to your point, Rachel, and your point, Chloe, I think that, so personally, doing the show about being an ally on Lady Radio, you know, I feel very, it's very special to me that I, you know, that I was able to come on here and be able to talk about these things. But also understanding that, you know, I'm not at the center. You know, it's not a pat on the back for me, you know, to be able to speak on these things. However, I do know when talking to other men about feminism and about misogyny and about patriarchy, you know, they're more apt to listen to me than they are to someone who they label, you know, a feminist or someone who's a, you know, the F word. It's automatically discredited in their mind a little bit, which is not good. And that's something that I feel that I can help, you know, you need to listen to these type of things. These are, you know, you don't have to think of it as, you know, issues that just affect, oh, this could be my sister or this could be my mom. Like, no, it should just be, this is affect women and I care about women. You know, I love women, you know, and so I want to make sure that, you know, everybody feels comfortable in, you know, every situation out there. And so
there's a documentary I watched recently about how men, boys are raised to be men, and that they too are oppressed in a sense that they're not able to, or they're taught to not express their feelings. And then there's all this rhetoric on how, like, boys are better than girls, or like, oh, you run like a girl, or you hit like a girl, etc. Mm-hmm. It's all of this, like, really negative talk about women. So it's almost like, it is in our society that men are raised to disrespect women, but at the same time, they don't have an outlet for their frustrations in the same way that women do. We have more, we're more allowed to be upset. We're more allowed to, like, mentally break down every now and again as mm-hmm. people, all people, regardless of gender, need to. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. Like, it's not just that men are not treating women right because they are men. It's just this broken society that we have that is just perpetuating. I think both sides are oppressed, really. Mm-hmm. So I think being an ally has to go like 360. You can't just like really pick a group and be like, I got you guys. But I think it's just a practice of like understanding and, you know, just someone, if whoever is human, like treat them like humans.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point to bring out, is that this idea that you have to look at everything holistically. Like, you can't just, like you said, pick one group and focus on that. So I think we're going to take a break now, but when we come back, we'll continue to discuss allyship and what it means to be an ally to feminism and the movement.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. If only I could dream we could start
again. Hey there, my name is Callum Ng, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We are an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
Yeah, so we're back after our break. So we just wanted to go into continuing Chloe's point and continuing Rachel's point, and just talk about how, you know, as we build young boys and girls and, you know, grow into young men and women, you know, we want to make sure that we're always perpetuating this, you know, this inclusive culture and trying to incorporate just really all the different types of people and focus on how can we try to break down, you know, the patriarchy and misogyny that, you know, that just is part of our everyday life and part of our everyday social norms that we can, you know, that don't have to be that. No, it doesn't have to be like that. So
I just want to raise a quick point. It's something that's kind of like stuck in my craw, whatever a craw is. this whole term of ally as well. Like, I really appreciate what the point is behind it all. But it's like, if we are allies, then we are all parts of separate groups. We all identify as like, I'm a cis female and that is my group and I'm going to be an ally to like transgendered people, et cetera. But that's just reiterating all the differences, like putting us all into little boxes. So this is kind of just something that I want to like shine a little light on in a way, is that just like, as I said earlier, we're all human. Like, we don't have, like, if there's an ally, then there's an enemy.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I agree, but, you know, I disagree a little bit in the sense that, I mean, we are different and we are, and there's lots of different groups and we all are one. However, we must understand that, you know, that just because we are the same, you know, humans, but we, you know, we're different groups and we get treated differently. And, you know, I get treated differently just as Rachel gets treated differently, just as you get treated differently, you know. And so I think
we do, but that's the problem.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
the end
problem.
Goal is to get to the point where we're not seeing each other differently. Mm-hmm. Like right now, yeah, we have this like this problem to deal with, so we have to like take steps. But I just mean, I feel like for 2016, we're so far behind where we should be.
Yeah, I think I agree with Issa in the point that the reality is that, you know, we are human. And but the fact is, you know, like when we think about race and gender, for example, and class, they're all social constructs. They're not inherently natural. We're not born. Like race is not something that existed like when the world exists. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist in the natural world. It's something that we've created for ourselves. But at the same time, even though we created it, I think it still matters. And what's dangerous about that narrative, as much as, you know, it's great, is like we should treat each other like humans and we should treat each other the same because we are in a lot of ways the same. Is what's dangerous about that narrative is I think that often people use it to sort of disacknowledges a word, but just this idea that people take it and they say, you know, well, like, we're just human, like, so why are you trying to talk about race all the time?
Yeah,
why
like,
are you trying to talk about
like,
class
I don't
all
see,
the time?
I don't see color.
I don't see color.
What do you mean? What do you like?
But
you know,
I mean, if you talk about the three of us sitting in a room, we're all of different races. I don't know any of your economic backgrounds or social class, whatever, but we're all just like sitting here chatting about our beliefs and we're all just respecting each other for it, right? Like, I just think that, yeah, obviously people see color, I see race, there's difference, there's connotations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it just shouldn't, like, we're also reiterating and like reifying the constructs by talking about them so much and just being like,
yeah, but I agree. But if you don't talk about them, the problems are not going away. So
true.
So I cannot talk about, you know, what it means, what sexual assault is with my friends, and you know, and people make jokes about it, and I could sit back and say, oh yeah, you know, men and women are the same, and my friends are just joking, and you know, they don't actually feel like that. However, you know. Or I could speak up and acknowledge that there's a difference between me walking home by myself down in Gastown and you walking by home by yourself, and understand that, like, yeah, I have to talk to my friends about, you know, not catcalling. I mean, it's something interesting to see. My friends, my friends really don't do that. You know, I don't really hang out with too many guys who, you know, yell out the window and catcall. And, you know, I was walking down the street last week and I saw this girl. She was very beautiful and she had her headphones in. I was like, oh, she's got her headphones in. I'm not going to talk to her. She's in her space. You know, like that. Like that. I was just like, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And maybe another time, you know, maybe we'll cross paths. But, you know, I do have to talk to dudes about catcalling because there are lots of them, you know, there's lots of them. And, so these types of things, I don't think that we can just ignore.
I think next time you see a girl with headphones and you think she's really beautiful, you know, feel free to say hello.
I guess take all of those, take all those moments individually.
Yeah. But from your point, like, I'm not trying to say that, like, sexual assault is not a thing.
I think my point has been misconstrued.
No, but, sorry about that. No problem. I think just it's great to be an ally. It's great to use these terminologies and to, like, you know, really talk about it. That's not really what I'm trying to say. I think it's just sometimes a shame how far behind we are, and like being an ally is kind of like saying that you're different from this person based on like your sexual orientation or their sexual orientation.
Oh yeah, so like most definitely, like we saw last year, the University of Tennessee had a court case brought up against them about sexual assaults that were pretty much ignored on their campus, particularly in their athletics department. And, I mean, even Peyton Manning was named in the lawsuit, and he was the biggest name. However, it was very interesting. There was a case with a football player, and he was helping a sexual assault victim, you know, go to the police and talk to her about her assault. And other members of the football team beat him up because of it. Because one of the and that's the type of toxic behavior that we just can't sit idly by and let those type of things happen. So like to be like that, you know, that individual, he was doing the right thing, and you know, and helping his friend, you know, actually get justice for what happened to her. And the university ignored it, the football team ignored it, the athletic department, you know. And it's just pretty much these type of things that we can't let happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's so scary. And I think that, like, just in little senses, there are girls all over, probably just in this room alone, that have an experience of catcalling or some kind of, you know, inappropriate sexual behavior in some way against them. And anytime that I've talked about something that anytime that I've talked about something that I feel like was inappropriate, what's going on the radio?
We have a caller.
Whoa!
I don't know if the caller is hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. You're listening to Lady Radio. Are you trying to call in to join with the discussion?
I am trying to join the discussion. I apologize. I didn't understand.
We're gonna put you on air now. Okay. Oh, actually, I think you might be on air.
Yeah. Right now,
so caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Brandon.
Brandon
from DC.
Oh. Brandon from BC or DC?
DC.
DC.
Oh, international caller.
Hello, Brandon
caller.
From DC.
What do you want, Brandon?
What do I want? Well, first, this is my first time calling, first time listening. Amazing. You guys are doing awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
But I had a point I wanted to make about just basically, it's almost, I believe Chloe made the point about the documentary she was watching.
Yeah, I did.
I think it needs to be examined more about how we're just raised from birth to almost just be divisive as people.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, race or height or, you know, gender, you know, boys against girls, we're going to have a spelling test. Like, it's always, we're raised not to celebrate differences. And when you celebrate differences and you acknowledge that this person is different than you, this person is a woman, this person, you know, does have long hair and weird color eyes to me. But when you celebrate that difference, it becomes easier to be empathetic to that person as you grow up, as opposed to then dealing with somebody who's 37 years old and they know no better. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Thank you, Brandon.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon, for your call.
Oh, are we done? No, are we hanging up on him? Or
do you want to stay on air, more? Brandon?
I have some time. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? Yeah, why not?
I actually wanted to touch on your point about this sort of idea that divisiveness is learned and it's not inherent. Like, nobody's born racist. Like, nobody just comes out of the womb and they're like, I'm going to be a racist bigot. Like, nobody does that.
Yeah.
But... I think Issa is very excited to hop on this point, so I'm just going to finish my point. And I think that what's difficult is that not everybody gets to have, you know, has the privilege to have the conversations that we're having now, because I don't think I understood feminist theory, you know, as much as I do now without being here in university and learning the things that I've learned from the great professors that I've had. And that's the difficult part, is right, because not just people who learn about feminist theory and oppressive structures have kids. All kinds of people have kids. And so when that generation doesn't have that sort of knowledge, they end up raising children that have really similar ideas as them. And that seems to be the trend.
Yeah, I mean, Rach, I agree. I think that, you know, it's a good point to understand about how we're raised and, you know, who we're raised by, you know, what types of you know, critical thinking skills that they, you know, that they give us. So particularly my mother, you know, she's a very open-minded woman, and she doesn't know everything, but she knows a lot of stuff, you know. But she taught me to question about, you know, some of the things that even she taught me. And so I think that it's important, particularly when we're talking about feminism and gender, and we're talking and speaking to how we are, you know, brought up as girls don't play sports, or girls, you know, aren't good at math and science, and you know, these type of limitations, so that, you know, as we're raising, you know, younger children, and as even as we are growing and learning, you know, we can continue to pass on, you know, these good habits, so that we can slowly change the community and slowly change how people view gender, sexism, and patriarchy, and hopefully we can eliminate that. So.
Amen. And I want to loop back to what Brandon was talking about with that documentary that I watched. I believe it's called, like, The Mask That We Hide Behind, or something along those lines. It's on Netflix. I highly recommend that everybody watches it. And it was just saying that men do have a quote-unquote feminine side, same way that women have a more masculine side. I'm allowed to express that. Like, I'm allowed to be a tomboy. It's okay. It's an accepted part of society. But men aren't really allowed to have that feminine kind of nurturing side. Or they face bullying by their male contemporaries, like the story we were just talking about at the Tennessee University, where the kid who was trying to help out his female friend got beat up because he was, you know, pro-choice to whether or not you want to sleep with someone, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, like, we need to start looking at how we talk to each other, how we, like, perpetuate messages, how we're talking to kids. Like, when you talk to a girl, are you, like, a young girl, like, are you saying, oh, like, you're so pretty? Or it's like, oh, like, good job at the spelling bee, you know? You're so smart. Or to a kid, just, like, if they're crying, like, be a man. Like, you don't really want to say that. Like, how can you tell a little boy to be a man?
Yeah, and I think what's important to talk about in terms of feminism is that I often think that this idea that, oh, feminism is about men and women achieving equal stances and positions, but I think more broadly speaking, and maybe more inclusively speaking, is this idea that feminism is about ending sexist and patriarchal thought. And I think that, you know, boys and men are just as affected by patriarchy and sexist thought as women are. And women are not, they don't have, like, a free, get away with it card for patriarchal thoughts. Like, I think that the idea of be a man, I don't think that it's only men who tell boys to do that. There, women tell boys to do that,
definitely.
Too. And I think,
totally agree.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are so many times that I tend to be attracted to men that have a bit of a feminine side. I don't know what it is. It's just I like a bit of a sensitive guy. And I normally get like a little bit of flack from some girlfriends just being like, don't you want a man? Like, don't you want...
Okay. I mean, but just because a guy has a sensitive side, does that mean that it's feminine?
If you want to talk in terms of like feminine energy and masculine energy, I'd say that falls under that category.
I think that's part of the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that men get miscategorized as unemotional, or that if they're sensitive, then that's feminine. However, I think, particularly in sports, which is something I'm well versed in, I mean, you are asked to be emotional, and you're asked, and nobody looks at LeBron James when he dunks and he yells and screams and he's expressing emotion. Nobody looks at that as, oh man, he's pretty feminine, you know. So I think that it's men are allowed to express emotion when it comes to specific arenas, but you're right, it's not allowed to be expressed at all times. Like, I cried when my dog died, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not.
If he didn't, there might be something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also not. I'm not scared to say that I cry sometimes, because I think that it's important.
Yeah, and you know, building off of that point. Okay, Brandon, did you want to add on to what Issa and Chloe just said?
I did.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, please do.
But I feel that's where education comes in, because most people, like was stated, like especially men, they don't even know that they can be affected by feminism.
Yeah.
They have no idea. And it's like a lot of people don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're not even looking at feminism and the patriotic side of it. You're just looking at it. They just always see it as women against men.
Yeah.
I feel like you and Issa like now have taglines. Like, Issa is like, you don't understand what you don't understand.
Yeah.
And Brandon's is, people just don't know what they don't know.
Yeah. I also, to Chloe's point about patriarchy, you know, kind of pigeonholing young boys, and I think that when it comes to feminism or when it comes to women's rights, men think that they're losing something, you know, like that. It's always seen as like, oh no, I got to give up this, or no, I have to give this up, or you know, I'm losing this privilege. When in fact, they're actually gaining
so much to gain.
Yeah, there's so much to gain. Like being able, just being able to be an emotional being, you know, like that. Being able to express yourself is like a gift. And you know, like, and if you think of feminism as, you know, maintaining this type of, you know, in inner oppression inside yourself, where you have to suppress your feelings because you're a man, you know, I feel that maybe you need to cry a little bit, and you know, and just feel how good it is to release, you know, some of those emotions sometimes. Or maybe you need to write some poetry, or you know, go for a tap dance class, or you know, do something that might make you a little uncomfortable, and you'll see how much you know, as a man, that you grow. And then you can take that understanding, teach, you know, and then turn it around and say like, oh, you know, this is how I was contributing to, you know, to this toxic society, and you know, these cultural norms that really were limiting me, and also limiting, you know, my female, you know, compadres.
And I mean, the danger behind not being able to express your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, is that bottles up into a mental health issue. I mean, if you can't talk about your past, your present, like what really is going on inside of you, that's going to bottle up, and that's going to make you sick, and that's going to make you lash out. And so feminism can really, I think, if people embrace it more, set you free.
Yeah. And, you know, one of my favorite sort of feminist theorists and scholars is bell hooks. And I think, you know, she puts it in the most succinct way possible in one of her books, is that feminism is for everybody. And it's, I think, from this conversation that we've gleaned that is so true. On that note of feminism being for everybody, I think we're going to take another break, but we will be back and we will continue the conversation about allyship on Lady Radio. Thanks for tuning in, y'all.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, Brandon.
I just wanted to thank Brandon for calling.
Thank you, guys.
So if you'd like to call in, it's 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487.
Thank you.
Bye.
Jay Arner, Energy Slime featuring Jay Arner, DJ Duncan McHugh spinning some Jay Arner, and a bunch of other bands that Jay Arner may or may not have anything to do with.
Finally, we elf folk are free of elven labor and the frozen pale of winter dawn. This has been an amazing elfcation with Discordia Magazine, featuring Victoria's Pretty Good Not Bad Festival, Fountains Reunion in France, Montreal-based Arbutus Records, and Jay Arner, our king!
Red wine every day.
All this and more in Discordia, available around town at cafes, venues, record stores, and online at discordia.ca. Special thanks to this month's advertisers, Vinyl Records, The Rickshaw, Zipcar, The Astoria, Bomber Brewing, Don't Argue Pizza, Levitation Fest and Tambor, Live Van, Mint Records, Pressing Matters, and The Rio Theater. Discordia, get yours now!
Now repeat after me. Bugger off. Bugger off. Sod. Sod. Bloody. Bloody. Now put them all together. Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Okay, you're in.
Let's smash things up.
Every Saturday from noon to 1 p.m., listen to Generation Annihilation on CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio in Vancouver.
So you're back with Lady Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. You're here with Chloe, Issa, and Rach.
What's up?
Yeah, so we wanted to move on to not move on, but incorporate how we can include Rach. How did you express it?
Rachel,
so
you put it so eloquently.
Thank you. So actually, in light of those, you know, all those affected by Pulse and Orlando, or some people know it as, I wanted to talk a little bit about trans exclusionary feminists. So people. The actual term that a lot of people use is TERF, which is trans exclusionary radical feminists, and it's this idea that, you know, there are certain extreme feminists who try to exclude trans bodies from the feminist movement because they don't see these trans bodies and these trans people as women, and that can be really problematic. So yeah, I just thought we could talk about that a little bit.
Oh no, I definitely agree. It was very interesting. This past week I went to the community center down in Yale Town. I cannot remember what the name of it, but all of the bathrooms were all gender inclusive. And I had a tweet, I thought it was just like, I went to the bathroom, and when I came out, there was a woman changing the baby, and I felt bad because I was just in the bathroom, so I was like, wash my hands, I quickly got out. But it is nice to see Vancouver has a very inclusive community.
That's really cool of Yale Town. I had no idea that they were so open-minded.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a time I was at a restaurant with a friend who was trans, and she had just gone to the bathroom and came back and had taken a picture. It was some place on Commercial that had an exclusionary bathroom, and this was back in, I don't know, October. And it's funny, even looking back to October 2015, I feel like so many things have happened in that time that the world looks different from then to now. I'd be interested to know when Yale Town came about when the Yale Town Community Center started doing those kinds of bathrooms. Yeah. But that being said, talking about trans issues, this friend of mine really gave me an education on like what it really is like to kind of switch over from when I met her, She identified as a gay man and then came out to me that she was planning on transitioning. And it was really hard for her to tell me that, like tears in her eyes. We're at a restaurant. Like it was, she was really worried that there was something about our friendship that I like really wanted her to be a gay man. And I was just like, oh, like that's cool. Like, what does that mean? What are you going to do next? What are your next steps? And I didn't really understand the impact of like how that change is really all encompassing in our society. Like she had really real worries about getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also, she was Pakistani. So mm-hmm. she is Pakistani. Mm-hmm. So like that kind of ups her chances of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And just all, like I could go on and on about this all day, mm-hmm. but we don't really have the time. But it was just, it's scary to me that feminists, that there's a sector of feminists that don't welcome transgendered women
mm-hmm.
because they are not seen as real women. What is a real woman?
Like, even, yeah, that's a great question. It's like, what is a real woman even? Like, why are you asking that question? And thinking about your friend who is a trans woman and a trans woman of color, I think that goes back to this idea of like how important it is to be an ally and to yield, you know, yield the floor again to let people speak their own narratives. Because I think talking about Pulse again and the Orlando shooting is that I think in the aftermath, a lot of things that I notice is often, you know, people part of the queer community, but specifically like white queer people were often sort of expressing the pain that they felt and the impact that it had on them, but often forgot that those that were mainly affected were Latinx and Black bodies of queer bodies of color.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so this is like another, you know, this is like
another episode.
I think it's just another. It's like another, you know, place and another. I would say another way for me to present my, you know, to my allyship. You know, I grew up in a, you know, a very open household where, you know, homosexuality was just like it's just normal. It's like it's, you know, it's, this is how some people live their life. You know, and you know, so when I don't think of anything different besides that. You know, I grew up, if I'm from D.C., and if you ever get on one of the S2 buses or the S4, because we have some D.C. listeners, you'll see like 6-foot muscle bound dudes in dresses, and it's just normal. And you know, and this is, it's just you know, it's just part of the, you know, part of the culture. And so to see, you know, to see something like that happen in Orlando, you know, I reached out to my brother and just say, you know, just be like, no, tell him I love him. It's like, I don't really know what else, you know, what else I can do besides be there and to try to, when I hear people talking, you know, even Facebook, you know, I used to delete people when I saw them say something that I didn't agree with or that I thought that was particularly harmful. I said, this is Facebook. I don't really want to deal with that. I'm just going to delete them. Now, whenever I'm on the bus, I just mark them so that I can go back and I can challenge them on their views on Facebook. And I don't know if it works, you know, like that. But I also feel that if not saying anything is you're complicit in the, mm-hmm. in the violence that happens by not speaking up and not using your voice. And
yeah, I can totally agree. And I think social media is kind of a weird avenue to do that. I mean, I think the best place is a platform such as this, the radio, or print, media, whatever. If you have a platform to speak on it, or in person, like where other people can, you know, see what you're doing and listen to you and like listen to your tone of voice. But the thing with social media, and I agree with your point on like saying something and standing up for your point and like trying to educate, but man, social media is just fucking ruining my vocabulary. It's ruining the way that we communicate with each other, because, like, in my mind, just picturing like you going home and trying to educate someone who says something bigoted, I'm just like, ugh, it sounds like a fight. Like, it makes me tired already. Mm-hmm. Like,
but you can't. But it is a fight.
It is, but it's like a one-on-one fight. It's kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that not saying anything, of course you can't fight all the time. You know, like that. You can't sit behind your computer and fight. You have to, you know, and be a keyboard warrior, and you know, and really taking those battles, because one, because I do know people who do that, and it takes a toll on them because they're this infinite trolls. You know, like that. It's like infinite amount of people who are constantly, you know, putting this pressure, you know, and you really have to reply to everyone, and you have to make sure that your reply is concise, because those people don't care about logic, because
they want to see the mistake because
it's illogical for them. Their belief about why they should treat somebody differently is not founded in logic, so they don't even want to have a logical argument. They want to derail you and make you upset. So I understand that you can't fight every battle. However, I don't think that you can just let people just say whatever they want and think whatever they, you know.
I mean, no one is, like, that's free speech, you know? Yeah. No one is in control of what someone else says.
Of course.
But, I mean, it's a matter of picking your battles and, like, doing it strategically and smartly.
I think that goes back to this idea of, you know, being an ally and, like, leveraging your privilege, is understanding that sometimes for people who face these certain struggles, for example, if somebody made, like, a joke about, like, sexual assault on Facebook, like, for somebody who's experienced sexual assault, that might be way too much to actually try to address that. And I think that's where that idea of allyship comes in, where you leverage your privilege and you think, you know what, like, for somebody, that might be way too triggering and way too much, but I can say something because I'm not sort of, like, mentally drained from this thing. So I'm just thinking about allyship idea that, like, picking those battles to fight when you know that for some people it just might be too hard to fight those battles.
Yeah, I agree.
There's like a bit of a phenomenon, though, called slacktivism.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when you kind of jump on the bandwagon, or you're an activist from, like, being a computer warrior or keyboard warrior. And it is always positive to stand up for others online, but I just mean, if for those who, like, you know, think of themselves as activists, like, be an activist.
Yeah.
Like, if you're worried about helping people who have been sexually assaulted, like, what about that, like, volunteering for the women's rape relief? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. I mean, and that, like, that goes back to, like, I think in, you know, it all ties into what it actually means to be an ally, what an ally is, and doing your part. And so you're right. You have to understand where your privilege lies, and also where your actions can be. You know, you can actually affect people. And so, you know, volunteering, you know, if you want to, if you want to show that you really care, give your time, because the time is most valuable. So give your time, you know, go home and educate yourself. You know, we're lucky we have the internet. There's no shortage of information about, you know, what's going on, particularly what's going on in your city, what's going on in your area, what's going on in your neighborhood, what's going on your street, you know. And so, you know, get out and make these efforts. Also, you know, just talk to the people around you. Talk to the women in your life. You know, if you're a man and you say, like, you know, I don't really understand, you know, ask if what I just did is a little misogynistic? You know, is what I just said a little misogynistic? You know, you have to be self-aware and aware enough to talk to the women in your life to make sure that you're doing everything that you can do. And
yeah, and I mean, that's the big undertaking. That's a big journey, like, to ask yourself these kinds of questions. And for me, I've been doing that same kind of thing. And I think a lot of people, you know, I'm even afraid to ask myself those hard questions. It's a big undertaking. I think it has to start at home with yourself first.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point about allyship and having to spend your time and volunteering and doing all of that good work. But at the end of the day, like what I talked about with Issa earlier, is that it's really the private and the day-to-day that really add up and matter. Because I think often people say to feminists, like, why are you so caught up on the little things? Like, why are you pointing out this and that? But it's sort of a collection of all these little things together shapes the dominant thought around feminism and the dominant thought around certain issues. So it really matters in that day-to-day. Like you said, Chloe, it's a huge undertaking, but at the same time, it's important and it matters. And we got to start doing it. And it starts at home.
Yeah, I applaud anyone who is asking themselves these tough questions. I mean, for many people, gender isn't something that they think about a lot throughout the day. They have maybe different issues that they're handling. And just doing that kind of internal digging and figuring out what you're all about, like, go for it. I'm proud of anyone who's doing that.
Yeah, so, you know, thank you for listening in on Lady Radio today. It's where 101.9 CITR. And, you know, hopefully we've, you know, talked to you about, you know, what an ally is to feminism, what an ally is to any impacted group, and, you know, causes some reflection and think about, you know, what are the things that you're doing and what are the things that you can do to help improve the lives of, you know, the people around you.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in, and to all